Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church on this very special Easter Sunday. If you're awake and ready to worship, I should be able to say, He is risen. All right, that was decent. That was good. Okay. The law is a little bit concerning. Never 100% sure whether or not people are actually going to answer and then you look like an idiot. But that's okay, because He is actually risen, even if you don't say it. Okay. Now, this is a significant service for us. It's the heart of our faith. So whether you're here because you want to be or because you think you should be or because someone else really wants you to be, we just want to say welcome. We're so glad that you're here with us this morning on this significant service. You know, a couple of years ago, Anna and I, that's my wife, we bought a house in Kubi. It's a lovely place. We're super grateful, but it's on a subdivided block, which means that it doesn't really have much of a backyard. There's a patio out the back, but the only grassed area is actually out the front. Now, normally that wouldn't really be a big deal, but we've got dogs, and they're not exactly inside dogs. My dog is a Rottweiler. That's my one right there. It's not exactly an inside dog, right? So one of the first things that we did was we built a fence out the front. It cost me an arm and a leg. I've got to be honest with you. I'm not bitter about it. I've moved on. I definitely have. But yes, it cost quite a bit of money, right? So it's this beautiful white picket fence. It's what Anna wanted. Woman gets what she wants, you know what I'm saying? So it's a white picket fence out the front. It's a beautiful space. It means that the dogs have got some grass. They've got a yard, right? And Seb's got some grass, a place that he can play. It's just perfect. At least that's what I thought. The only problem is that our dogs have a tendency to dig. And when I say they have a tendency, I mean they really love digging. They really enjoy it in kind of a sociopathic way. And I think they kind of egg each other on. That's the problem with having two dogs, right? So they're constantly escaping, and it is infuriating. I got to be honest with you. I've been in this 2-year war with my dogs, and somehow I'm losing, okay? They dug another hole yesterday. And just like about 2 weeks ago, we actually got a $200 fine because they got picked up by the rangers. Now, I gotta be honest with you, I was seeing red. I was angry. Every time I say that, Ev never believes me. If Ev is here, where's Ev? She never believes me. Ev, I really was angry, I promise you. It was real. That's one thing to get a fine for something that you've done, right? I mean, I can wear that, whatever. But this is different. I'm innocent. I didn't dig those holes. Church, you gotta believe me. I don't even like dirt. And yet I'm the one paying the fine for these things. It offends my sense of fairness and justice. And I don't think that I'm alone in that. I feel like there'd be a lot of you who, if you were in my circumstances, you would agree with that. Because I actually think that fairness is a big part of Australian culture. We like things to be fair. It's a value that we hold dear. I mean, one of ScoMo's lines was, a fair go for those who have a go. A fair go. Even that saying, a fair go, that's an Australian thing. It's something that we value. It's important to us. What has this got to do with anything? Well, then we come to Easter, and all of that gets thrown out the window. Because the truth is, there's nothing fair about Easter. And believe it or not, that's actually good news. The good news of the gospel isn't that you and I get what we deserve. The good news of the gospel is that God has given us something better. He's given us grace. So we might value fairness, a fair go, but actually, can I tell you, grace is better. And if you've never been to church before, that might be a foreign concept to you. So I want to read a passage of scripture from Romans chapter 5. This is grace. If you've got your Bibles here this morning, I encourage you to open up to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to be skipping a little bit through this chapter, but it'll be up on the screen for you. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 12. Says, sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. And then down to verse 15, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by God's grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Verse 18, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation, judgment for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so the trespass might increase. That's weird, we'll unpack that later. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It is good news. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with the Christian story, but Paul wants you to know that our world wasn't always like this. Broken, sinful, wasn't always like this. You get to the end of Genesis chapter 1 and God says, it is good. And the world that God created was good. There was life and joy. There was no death, no pain, no suffering and sickness. It just wasn't there. And I know that probably sounds almost too good to be true. It's hard for us to imagine what that would have even been like, because our world is just so broken. But Paul wants you to know it's not the way that it's meant to be. That's sin. That's what it does. It distorts things. It's a twisting of God's good creation. That's sin. Sin entered the world through Adam, and death came with it, because the penalty of sin is death. And it wasn't isolated to a few. It's something that touches all of us, because the reality is all have sin. Now, that's a bleak picture, but it's meant to be. The truth is, we spat in the face of our Creator. We didn't think that we needed Him. We actually thought that He was holding out on us. We pushed Him aside and went our own way. We rejected His rule and reign, ultimately because we didn't trust Him, and yet it ruined everything. It ruined everything. That's the fall. That's what Paul is describing in verse 12, and it is the backdrop to the gospel. Truth is, we broke God's good creation. Our rebellion opened the door to sin and death. In a sense, we deserve this. It is the fruits of our labor. So you want to talk about fairness or what you deserve, this is it. But it's not God's plan and it's not His heart. And thank goodness that is true. It's not His heart. So against the backdrop of our rebellion stands the free gift of God's grace. It's not really a word that we use all that often, but grace is simply the unmerited favor of God. It's a favor that I just don't deserve, a kindness that I haven't earned. That's grace. And grace is God's response to our sin. Which brings us to verse 15. Paul says we broke the world, it's true, but he wants you to know that that's not the end of the story. Now in steps Jesus. He lives the life that we should have lived, and He died the death that we should have died. That's the cross. It's the whole point of Easter. In the same way that Adam's rebellion opened the door to sin and death, Jesus' obedience opened the door to life. He came to undo the work of Adam. He came to set us free, to save us, and it points us to the heart of God. His goodness, His love, that He was completely unwilling to just sit back and watch us drown in our sin. He got His hands dirty. He waded into the brokenness of our world and He saved us. That's the message of Easter. One trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, but one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. Through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners. That's the backdrop. But through the obedience of one man, the man, Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. The word righteous means right in the sight of God, but it's not just talking about a religious purity. It actually points us to the greater reality of covenantal relationship. The Bible is so clear. The wages or the penalty of sin is death, because sin separates us from the Father, our Creator, who is the author of life. That's why it ends in death. Well, clothed in the righteousness and the perfection of Jesus, that relationship has been restored. So I once again have the opportunity to walk in relationship day by day with my God, my King, my Creator. I can take hold of the fullness of life that He has for me, because He is life. Not because of anything I've done. That's what Paul wants you to know. Not because of anything I've done, but as a free gift of grace. Chris Cranfield puts it like this. He says that a single misdeed should be answered by judgment. This is perfectly understandable, that the accumulated sins and guilt of all the ages should be answered by God's free gift. That is the miracle of miracles, utterly beyond human comprehension. And yet it is the message of Easter. How we were lost and without hope. We were drowning in our own sin, and yet Jesus took our place. He took our sin upon Himself that He might give us eternal life, hope, and peace as a free gift of grace. And you might be sitting there thinking, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. And that's true. I don't know what you've done. But Paul wants you to know everything that we're talking about, it has nothing to do with good works. It actually says in verse 20 that the law, the Old Testament, that the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. You think, why would God possibly want to increase the trespass? That seems bizarre. But what he's saying is that the law was brought in to show us the depth of our sin, to help us understand just how broken we are, how far we fall short of the glory of God. In a sense, the law is there to bring you to your knees, because in that place of utter weakness and dependency, you might turn from the futility of good works and take hold of grace. And the law was brought in so the trespass might increase. And here's the good news. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Sin increased, grace increased all the more. That's good news. You know, when I read that verse, oddly enough, and this might not be right, but I think about Seb, not because he's particularly sinful. I mean, he is, but not for that reason. But I think about him because I have this memory of him when he was about 3 or 4, somewhere in there. He's building a sandcastle down at the beach, but he made the rookie error of trying to build it too close to the water. Silly, silly boy. Didn't know. Doesn't understand the tide, right? So the tide's coming in. He's getting really frustrated. I can just see him frantically scooping water out of his little moat, his little hole, right, with this bucket, only to turn around and find that his hole is full of water again. And it just perplexed him. He could not understand. It blew his little mind. He's digging in the sand, trying to figure out where is this water coming from? And as he digs, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how deep that he would dig, water just kept bubbling to the surface. That's grace. That's what Paul's saying. You could delve the depths of your own brokenness. It doesn't matter. You'll find grace. And the more that you understand the depths of your own brokenness, the more that you'll understand the beauty of God's grace. Because it doesn't matter how deep you dig, God's grace is there, and it's enough. The wonderful truth of Easter is that it's not grace plus works. Because if that was true, I'd stuff it up. I know I would. It's not grace plus works. It's grace and grace alone. And I'll prove it to you. You know that Jesus was crucified? That's, most people know that. But you may not know that there are actually two other men being crucified with him. And unlike Jesus, they were guilty. They were. And they must have been guilty of some pretty horrific crimes. You don't get crucified for nothing. One of them starts to mock Jesus, but the other criminal rebukes him and says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." It's so tempting to read that and to think, come on, man. That's not how this stuff works. And yet, Jesus turns around and says, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Talk about scraping through by the skin of your teeth. The man is dying, crucified. And yet Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, be with me in paradise." The question is how? I've got to be honest with you, his theology was probably rubbish. It didn't exactly have a track record that was something to be proud of. He didn't have time to get baptized. He's a little busy. He would have never been to a Bible study, and he's definitely never been to church, and yet he made it. Like, he actually made it. Now just think about that for a second. What does that man bring to the table? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Standing at the gates of heaven, I can imagine the angel would have asked him, "On what basis should we let you in? On what basis?" And all he can say is, "The man on the middle cross said, I can come." That's it. And he doesn't have any good works to rest in. He just doesn't. He's got nothing, nothing to bring to the table. Doesn't have a depth of theology, of understanding. He doesn't have it. All he had was, "The man on the middle cross said, I can come." And yet it was enough. That's the message of Easter. That is the gospel, that Jesus is enough. That he did what we couldn't. He lived the perfect life in obedience to the Father. And then he took our place on the cross. He said, "I'm willing to trade places with you. You have my life, I'll have yours." That's not fair. It's better. It's grace. It's a beautiful thing. And we're going to finish by spending some time reflecting on what Jesus has done for us as we come before the table in communion. I just want to give you a couple of minutes just to fix your eyes on the beauty and the wonder of Jesus and the hope of grace. You can lay down any attempts at good works. This is just an opportunity for us to throw ourselves at the grace and mercy of God and simply say, thank you. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to do that now, just to spend some time thanking God for grace. And then we're going to eat and drink together. But why don't you do that now? Isaiah 53 says he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But that's not true. He was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. His wounds were healed. The bread represents his body, which was broken for us. The wine, the juice, his blood, which was poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Let's eat and drink in remembrance of the man on the middle cross who says that we can come.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.